And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take the poll that is up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I ask a real simple multiple choice question. The question is this: who had a greater impact on U.S. history? Was it Martin Luther King or was it Cesar Chavez? Cast your vote up there. You'll be able to see the interim results immediately as soon as you place your vote. I will announce the overall results on Thursday's show. You'll find the poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. That's brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is success. Each of my guests is describing their path to success and offering lessons we can all learn. My next guest's life was suddenly changed forever when an impaired driver hit her head-on in an automobile crash, leaving her paralyzed. We'll discuss overcoming adversity as she did from her talk, Crashing Into Destiny. And if you want to ask questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Phaedra Olson's life was changed forever in May of 1996 when an impaired driver crossed the center line and hit her in a nearly head-on crash. Phaedra's sustained life-threatening injuries and became a paraplegic in an instant. Phaedra turned that tragedy into triumph as she started to deliver her life-changing message, Crashing Into Destiny. Life isn't what happens to you, it's what you do with it. She never planned to be a motivational speaker. In fact, she planned to be a cosmetologist. In her life before the accident, she was a bubbly, active preschool teacher who modeled part-time. Phaedra is now a former Miss Wheelchair USA of 2010. She and her husband and their two children live in Russellville, Missouri. Joining us from Jefferson City, Missouri. Hi, Phaedra. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest and coming on to tell your story, because your story is truly a game changer. For most people, getting hit head on, becoming a paraplegic, that would be a tragedy. But you turned it into an opportunity, however. So tell us about your accident and your road to recovery, which wasn't a straight line path by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, it was May 11th of 1996, and it started off as a day like any other day. I'd worked my job, and my friends and I had actually decided that we were going to go to a concert. Driven to a little town in Columbia, Missouri, and went to a concert there, in which we had a great time. No alcohol, no drugs, just a group of kids hanging out and having a fun night. And that night we decided to drive home, as innocent as that was. When a drunk driver crossed the center lane, like you said earlier, he hit two cars. He hit the car in front of me, and then he hit me on what was considered a nearly head-on collision.
Wow.
There were seven of us total, and all seven were injured. Some minor, up to me being the most injured, I guess you could say.
Were you in the driver's seat or in the passenger seat?
I was in the driver's seat. I was actually driving the car.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I don't remember the actual impact of the crash. I remember seeing headlights coming at me. I remember screaming, and that's the last thing I remember for the next 3.5 weeks because I was in a coma.
Right. I mean, you went into a coma after that, and doctors were very concerned about the possibility of you even surviving that. You had major injuries. What were some of the other major injuries that you sustained during the crash?
Well, let's start with the external. Both of my ankles were broken. My thigh bone was broken. I actually have rods from my knee to my hip. My pelvic was broken on the right and the left side. I had four broken ribs in my right forearm. Both bones were completely shattered. I had metal plates and screws in that as well. So if somebody starts talking about someone with a loose screw, I get a little nervous.
Very funny, yes. Well, now, that's amazing. Now, if it were me, Phaedra, I have to be honest with you, I would be chronically depressed after something like that, particularly waking up, coming out of this coma for so long, only to discover that I was paralyzed. How did you cope? Did you ever feel powerless in this struggle? How did you overcome, obviously, the natural feelings that one would have after an accident like that?
Oh, completely. In my situation, I couldn't really figure out what was going on, why I was paralyzed. As you heard, I never had an injury to my spinal cord at all. The most catastrophic thing that happened to me is I had numerous internal injuries, but the most catastrophic was through the impact of the crash. We actually hit so hard that it ripped the aorta heart valve away from my heart.
Wow.
At the age of 22, I was taken in for open heart surgery. And I was literally bleeding to death on that operating table. And the physicians did the only thing they could just to allow me to survive. And that was they cut off the blood supply to my lower extremities. By doing that, it killed the nerves inside my spinal cord. I'm actually a very unique situation because I have complete feeling. I can feel my toes. I can feel if my cat brushes against my feet, or if my shoes are too tight, I can feel everything, but yet I can't move.
Now, that is unusual, and it's an unusual situation that the doctors were put into to have to make that kind of decision to save your life. They had to make the conscious decision to cut off the blood to the lower part of your body. When you came out of that, and of course it took you weeks, if not months, to realize everything that came on, but what was the turning point for you when you realized that your life was never going to be the same, Phaedra?
You know, when a person is in the hospital, and I was there for 124 days, and then I was sent to a rehabilitation center. And during that time, there was almost a little bit of a comfort because everyone else around me also had a disability, a newly acquired disability. So there was something about being safe and feeling comfortable in that environment. But as soon as you came out, I felt, you know, to be honest with you, Bill, I'd spent a lifetime where people stared at me and looked at me by being a model and having people stare at me and watch me and smile. And now people were looking at me for an entirely different way. And it was a way of being almost pathetic, a bit of pity. And I just decided that I was not going to have people treat me like that. I was not going to have people stare at me like that. So I needed to do something, find a way to be able to go on with my life. Now, was there a time that I was angry and bitter? Of course. Of course, you kind of feel that way. And it actually becomes one of those times whenever you have to make the decision that actually starts in your mind that says, you know, I'm going to look at this glass as half full because I am alive. I am still me, just my legs don't work, but I have a tool that allows me to help me to walk and to be able to go on.
Wow, a powerful story. My guest is Phaedra Marriott Olson. We're talking about her real-life experience where she crashed into destiny. Now, Phaedra, before the accident, would you have characterized yourself as an optimistic person or a pessimistic person?
Oh, I believe there was somewhat of me, always optimistic. I was very outgoing and bubbly, and I enjoyed life. And I wasn't going to let this down. I mean, I believe that, you know, no one has a time machine. We cannot go back and change what happened yesterday, but we can change what happens today, and we can change what happens tomorrow. And a lot of that begins with our attitude.
Sure, it does. So your optimism was very important in your whole recovery process. So let me ask you, as you came through the crash, you realized that you'd made this turning point. As you decided to sort of challenge yourself more and more after the accident by doing more and more different things, how did you face each new challenge that you had, Phaedra? Give us some examples.
Well, you know, it's a one-day-at-a-time kind of process. And in which you have to, I kind of wake up in the morning and I say, okay, this is my day. And I'm going to make someone smile today. I'm going to help someone else get through today. Because we can always sit around and we can all feel sorry for ourselves, or we can have the opportunity in which we actually can look at other people and go, you know what, there are other people that have a lot worse things off in our lives. So we have to be able to start every day. I myself found that I'm a shoe collector.
Really?
I love shoes. In which I said, you know, I'm going to wear these shoes, and I don't want people to be like, oh, that Phaedra Olson, she's that lady in the wheelchair. Instead, I want them to say, oh, that Phaedra Olson, she's that lady in the wheelchair with the really cool shoes. It works for me, and it makes me look taller.
Which is a good thing. My guest is Phaedra Olson, with a great sense of humor, I might add. So let's talk about this transition that you made, though, because prior to the accident, you were a model, you were a housewife, a mother, potential cosmologist. How did you make that transition to becoming a public speaker and sharing your message? How do audiences receive your message?
Well, when it came to kind of getting into that, there was something about me that I just wanted to give back. I was so angry, not even at the man that hit me, but actually at the criminal justice system. At that time, Missouri's law, he tested at 0.08, and the blood alcohol content level was 0.10. So he was never charged with drinking and driving. Instead, he was charged with a second-degree assault. And to me, it was just obviously, if he wouldn't have been drinking, he wouldn't have been driving, I wouldn't be in a wheelchair. So that's really where I started off my aggressions, and I started working with other organizations. And I also spent time at the court, at the Capitol, and spoke to representatives and the governor, and to be able to get those laws changed. And then I just thought, you know, let's start with teenagers. And that's really my biggest goal, is to work with teens, because they are out there and they're around alcohol and they're around parties. And so what do we need to do to be able to get them to be able to come home safely? and to be able to get their families home safely and to keep our community safe. And that's really where I started.
Well, you certainly had a career of political activism in Jefferson City, Missouri, which is the capital of Missouri. Talk to us, though, about your involvement with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, MADD.
MAD actually started off with my family. While I was still laying in a coma, it was volunteers from the Columbia, Missouri area that actually came to the hospital. They held her hand. They brought her coffee. My mother never left my side. She was always with me at that hospital.
Wow.
And so MAD started off supporting her. And I thought, you know, if there's something I can do, let me help MAD too.
I think that's very noble. My guest is Phaedra Olson. We're talking about her crash into destiny and now her public speaking that she does, talking and trying to lift the spirits of many people out there today. Tell me, as a public speaker, Phaedra, what's the most gratifying thing of being a public speaker when you share your message? Give us some stories that you've had along the public speaking trail.
I've had the opportunities to speak at something called Victim Impact Panels, in which offenders actually will come and they hear me speak and I share my story. And there was one particular night that I was at the movie theater with my family, and somebody came up and tapped me on the shoulder, and I said, hello, how can I help you? I had no idea who this person was. he said, I just wanted to let you know that I heard you speak, and it's a Friday night. But I've been an alcoholic most of my entire adult life. And he said, it's a Friday night, but rather than being in a bar, I'm here with my family because I haven't had a drink since I heard you speak.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, that's the reason I do this, because maybe we kept him safe. Maybe we changed that one life, and maybe it's affected his entire family. Obviously, if he's not at a bar and he's out of the movie theater with his family, that's a positive role.
Definitely that is. Well, Phaedra, talk to me a little bit more about these victim impact panels. Is this something that happens only in Missouri, where they require people to go and hear the impact that victims have because of their reckless habits, their drunk driving, and et cetera?
They are nationwide. They're actually designed for first-time drunk driving offenders, and it's a form of deterrent to be able to help keep people off the highways and make them think twice before they actually make that decision.
Wow.
You know, we live in a society where we all know that drinking and driving is against the law. I don't think there's anyone out there that would tell you it isn't. And we have way too many opportunities for taxi cabs and designated drivers and to call a friend and, you know, to be able to have someone to be able to help. And if we can just make someone else realize that and kind of think about it and help keep our highways and our communities a little safer, I think it's well worth it.
My guest is Phaedra Olson. Phaedra, what will you tell your children about hope and resilience based on your life's experience?
Well, I really want them to understand that bad things do happen to good people, but the way that we handle them is how we move forward. And a lot of times that consciousness, like I said, it starts in the brain and then it moves to the heart. But after it gets to the heart, it'll kind of become your way of life.
That's a very powerful message. Now, your children, how old are they today, Phaedra?
18 and 20.
So they are themselves adult children out there.
They are.
And they're making their way in the world. Are they helping you to carry this message forward too?
Oh, absolutely. Both of my children are strong supporters of that message, and they preach it and they believe in it and they live that lifestyle. They've seen too much tragedy in their own lives.
My guest is Phaedra Olson. We're talking about her speech, Crashing Into Destiny. Phaedra, if you could leave listeners with just one message today, what would that one message be?
To live every day like it's your last day, and to make sure that it's a positive role model, not only to yourself, but to those around you.
Wow.
That's what we need to focus on.
Very, very powerful. Phaedra, if people are intrigued by not only your story, but they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Oh, please go to my website. It's www.phaedraolson.org. They can shoot me an email or contact me that way. Pretty easy to find me.
All right. It's PhaedraOlson.org, so it's a .org. Spell Phaedra, because that is not the most common of names out here in California.
It's PhaedraOlson, and it's actually .com, PhaedraOlson.com.
PhaedraOlson.com. Phaedra, thank you so much for sharing your inspirational story with us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
And you too.